2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7 this morning. And we will be there momentarily. And I want to preach on this thought this morning: getting the most out of every church service. Getting the most out of every church service, or if I could say it another way, maximizing the meeting. Maximizing the meeting. The word maximize simply means to make the most of something. It means not wasting the opportunity. It means getting everything out of something that can possibly be gotten. And so I've had to ask the question, and I want to ask it to us plainly this morning, and that is, why do we come to church? Why do we gather? And when we gather, are we making the most out of church when we are coming together, when we are gathering? And by that, I mean that we're just not attending. We're not just sitting. We're not just checking off a religious duty. We're not just saying, well, I went another week down and I'll be back next week. But when we come, do we come to church with our hearts ready, with our minds engaged, with our spirits sensitive, and our lives open to what God wants to do? And I want us to know this morning, there's a world of difference between being in the building and being in the service, or being in the meeting. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 7, we find that Solomon has finished the temple. The prayer has been prayed. The sacrifices have been offered. The fire has fallen. The glory of God has filled the house. And when the people finally leave, the Bible says and tells us they go home glad and merry in heart. In other words, they did not leave like they had come. They did not leave like they had arrived. And that is what ought to happen when God's people gather, when God's people assemble. And church should not merely mark the calendar, but church should move the heart. But the tragedy is that many people, they come to church and they leave exactly the same way that they came. With the same burden, with the same bitterness, with the same coldness, with the same distraction, with the same attitude, with the same spiritual condition. And they come and they leave and nothing has changed. Nothing is different. But the good news is it doesn't have to be that way. That we don't have to leave the same way that we come into church. And this passage that we're going to look at this morning, or these two passages that we're going to look at this morning, show us how to get the most out of every church service. And so you're there, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And we all know verse number 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But the verse I want us to focus on is a few verses before that, verse number 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 10. The Bible says, and on the 23rd day of the 7th month, He sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to the people and to Israel, his people. And so from the gladness of verse number 10 here, I want us to kind of walk our way backward through chapter 6 and into chapter 7. And I want us to go through what is happening here and see what exactly produces this kind of departure. That the people, they could leave the house of God. As verse number 10 says, glad and merry in heart. Before the people left, right, something had to happen in that service. The very first thing I wanted to see this morning is, number one, the atmosphere must be primed. The atmosphere must be primed. You're there, chapter 7, notice verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And so we see here that before the meeting, or before the people ever left glad and merry in heart, something had already happened in the atmosphere of that meeting, in the atmosphere of that service. Now, what we're talking about here, we're not talking about entertainment, because that's what many churches have become today. They've become an entertainment mecca. They've become an entertainment hub. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about an entertainment atmosphere. We're not talking about some sort of worked up emotion or human manipulation or some mood lighting to set the mood. We're not talking about a performance driven service. No, what we're talking about here is a spiritual atmosphere where God is honored and His word is central. His people are ready and His presence is desired. And as Christians, we need to understand that we cannot treat church like common ground and then wonder why we never sense it as what it's supposed to be, and supposed to be holy ground. It's supposed to be a place where the Lord can work in hearts and in lives and in minds. But yet oftentimes we come and we treat church just like we would treat our own house. And then we wonder why it's not feeling like it's supposed to be. And the atmosphere of a service is not accidental. It's prepared. It's guarded. It's cultivated. It's planned. It's primed. Now, number one, we see that it's primed by the preparation of leadership. Notice 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Second Chronicles chapter 6, and notice there if you would, verse number 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 12, the Bible says, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant, and showest mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David, my father, that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, there shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken unto my servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built? We see here Solomon, he did not stumble into this meeting casually. The Bible tells us he stood before the altar, that he spread forth his hands, he kneeled upon his knees, he prayed before the congregation, he led the people toward God. And he noticed the marks of a prepared leadership. He had a recognition. He recognized that God could not be contained in a building. He had a remembrance. He remembered the promises and performances of God. He had a reverence. He kneeled before the Lord in the sight of the people. And then he made a request. He asked God to hear, to dwell, to forgive, and to help. We see that that is why leadership matters. Dr. Lee Roberson, he was the pastor of the old Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and the he was the president and chancellor of the Highland Park College there in Tennessee, and he was quoted as saying, everything rises and falls on leadership. And that shows us here that a prepared pulpit helps prepare the pew, and a prayerless platform helps produce a powerless meeting. And listen, those who lead the service should not be merely be ready with notes and songs and schedules and duties, but they should be ready in heart. They should be ready to get up and to lead a service. And it's because a church service is not something that, you know, sometimes you go home and you think, man, you know, we really pulled it off today. Well, listen, a church service isn't something we pull off. It's something we prepare for. And so I'll go home this evening, and when I get home, and tomorrow when I wake up, I'll already start preparing for next week's service. And seeing, okay, Lord, where would you have us to go next week? Because it should never be where we just show up and, okay, what song are we going to sing today? Or what scripture are we going to read today? Or what are we doing today? No, there should be something that has been planned and prayed over, so we know exactly where we're going. We see it's primed by the preparation of leadership, but then secondly, we see it's primed by prayer to the Lord. Look there again, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Before the fire ever fell, prayer went up. And that is still the order. That's still the way we get God to do something in our midst, by praying. Solomon prayed all throughout chapter 6 that God would hear his people when they prayed. And he was not just asking for things. He was asking for God. He was asking for God to be attentive, to be present, to be merciful, to be mighty among his people. We need to stop asking God only for things and start asking for God Himself. So often we view God as a spiritual ATM that He only exists to meet our needs and to give us things, when in reality we should be asking for God Himself to meet with us. We want God to move, but do we pray? We want sinners to be saved, but do we pray? We want the preaching to have power, but do we pray? We want hearts to be helped, but do we pray? And listen, too many churches, they try to manufacture what only God Himself can manifest. And a church that prays before the service will get more out of the service. But we see it's primed by the preparation of leadership. It's primed by the prayer to the Lord. Then thirdly, we see it's primed by the power of the Lord. Notice again, chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible says, "The fire came down from heaven." The fire came down from heaven. Now someone might say, "Well, this is Old Testament." But you go and you read Acts chapter 2 sometime. And then Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, the Bible talks about when the place was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We still need the power of God. We do not need dead services or mechanical services or man-centered services, or services where everything is done decently but nothing is done spiritually. There's so many churches that if it's not in the order of service, if they deviate from it, it's like it's almost World War III. We still need the power of God. And listen, the choir can sing, but God must still breathe. Listen, the preacher can preach, but God must empower. The church can meet, but God must manifest and make His presence known. It's primed by the preparation. It's primed by prayer. It's primed by power. And then we see, fourthly, it's primed by presenting ourselves to the Lord. It's primed by presenting ourselves to the Lord. You notice there, verse number 1, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, or the sacrifices. The sacrifices had been offered. The people brought something to God. Now here's a simple truth this morning. The people who put the most in the church are usually the people who get the most out of church. And that means this morning, if you walk into church cold and distracted and uninterested and uninvolved and discouraged, then don't be shocked if all of a sudden when church is over, you walk out empty. But when you come to church and you're prayed up and you're hungry and you're ready and you're surrendered and you're willing, then you are in a position to then receive something from God. You get more out when you put more in. And so when you come to church, bring your Bible. Bring your attention. Bring your worship. Bring your obedience. Bring your sacrifice. Bring your heart. Bring it all to Him. And give it all to Him. So many people, they come to church and they come like a consumer, and they come waiting to be impressed. We need to come like a servant, ready to worship. Now we see number next is primed by the presence of the Lord. Notice verse number 2. Oh, chapter number 7, and the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. The passage says twice here that the glory of the Lord filled the house. And that's exactly what we need. Not merely good singing, not merely good preaching, not merely a good crowd, not merely a smooth program, but we need the presence of God. And listen, a church can have people and not have power. A church can have music and not have ministry. A church can have motion and not have the manifestation and presence of God. And listen, we need to make sure that we never are satisfied with church without His presence. But unfortunately, churches have gotten so used. They just come and they do church. They have church. And it could matter so little to them if God was there meeting with them as they were meeting together. And then we see next it's primed by praise to the Lord. Notice verse number 3. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 3. The Bible says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." When the people saw what God had done, they bowed, they worshiped, and praise. Praise prepares the heart. You know, there's something wrong when as God's people, we can get excited about everything except God. It really is. You know, the church goes a little bit longer, or the preacher preaches a little bit longer, and if he's not done by 12 or 12:15, and you know, all of a sudden we start getting antsy, we start, you know, shifting in our seats. You know, we'll watch a 3-hour football game, or a 3-hour baseball game, or a 2-hour movie, and we'll do it like it's nothing. But heaven forbid the church service goes over an hour. And we get excited about everything and everybody except God. And listen, this is the God who saved us, who kept us, who forgave us, who fed us, who helped us, who heard us when we call out to Him. Isn't He worthy of much more than just a cold stare and a closed mouth? We see this morning, if the atmosphere is going to be primed, it can't be because of leadership alone. A prepared atmosphere must be met by a participating assembly. And that brings us to truth number 2 this morning. The attendees must be participating. A church service is not supposed to be a performance by a few while everybody else watches. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 here, we see the king offered, the people offered, the priest served, the Levites sang, Israel stood, the people feasted, and the people assembled. Everybody had a part. And church is not strengthened by spectators. Church is strengthened by servants. And if we're going to get the most out of every church service, then we must at some point move from observation to participation. And we see that they were participating by sacrificing. Notice verses 4 and 5 of chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, "Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God." We see here that the people came, but they did not come empty. They brought something to God. And now listen, we're not bringing animal sacrifices today. At least I hope you're not bringing animals into the church. That would get messy very quickly. But Christ is our once for all sacrifice. In Romans 12:1, the Bible says we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That means this morning that when we come to worship God, worship will cost us something. Worship will cost us our pride. It may cost us our comfort. It may cost us our preference. It may cost us our convenience. But real worship brings something to God. If church never costs you anything, you may not be worshiping. You may just be watching. They were participating not only by sacrificing, but they were participating by sanctifying. Notice the end of verse number 5 there. Verse number 5, the Bible says, "So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God." We see there was a dedication. There was a setting apart. And that is needed in every church service, that we set apart the time, we set apart our attention, we set apart our attitude, we set apart our conversations, we set apart our mind from the clutter of the week. And when church starts, listen, this is not an ordinary time. This is not a time for gossip or for scrolling on our phones or for foolishness or for unnecessary movement or, you know, for a running commentary on everything that is going on in the service. Once church begins, listen, we are gathered not for your business and not for my business, but we are gathered for the business of heaven. We see that they were participating by serving. Notice verse number 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "And the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood." You know, we need to realize this morning, it says here, "The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord." That means singing is not simply filler before the preaching. Singing is not just, you know, the warm-up act. You ever go see a comedian and usually have a warm-up comedian before the main comedian? Well, that's not what singing is. Singing is worship. And now listen, you may not have the best voice, but if you are saved, you still have a reason to sing. Listen, you can sing because you are redeemed. You can sing because your sins are forgiven. You can sing because heaven is your home. You can sing because the Lord has been good. A redeemed soul ought not need a perfect voice to praise a perfect Savior. They were participating by standing. Notice there again, verse number 6. Last part of verse number 6, the Bible says, "And all Israel stood." Standing here shows attention. It shows reverence. It shows engagement. A person can stand physically and still sleep spiritually. And so the posture itself is not the whole point. The point is engagement. There ought to be something in us that says that when we come to church, Lord, here I am. Speak to me. Deal with me. Help me. Change me. Show me what it is you'd have me to see today. Listen, God does not ask us to come to church to be entertained. He calls us to be engaged. You see, number next, they were participating by savoring. Notice verse number 8. The Bible says, also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. They didn't rush through it. They didn't treat it like an inconvenience. They lingered in the goodness of God. You know, sometimes we are in such a hurry to leave church that we miss what God is trying to do. We need to be sure that we're not so eager to get out of church that we miss what God brought you into church to receive in the first place. They were savoring it. They weren't just getting in to get out. That as soon as church was over, they were the first ones out the door. And then we see number next, they were participating with soberness. Notice verse number 9. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, and they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. So we see here that after 7 days of feasting, they made a solemn assembly. Now listen, there's a place for rejoicing, but there's also a place for seriousness. And yes, church is joyful, but listen this morning, church is not casual. Church is encouraging, and it ought to be, but it is not trivial. Church is a blessing, but it is also holy. A sober mindset is crucial to receiving everything that God wants you to get in a service. And that means, listen, we must be careful. We must be careful about distractions. That means, listen, I know it's hard for some, but don't get distracted. For others, don't be a distraction. Avoid unnecessary talking. Avoid unnecessary movement and leaving during the service unless it's absolutely necessary. Silence the phone. Put it away. Leave it alone until service is over. We have become so attached to these stupid little devices that we can't go 5 minutes without scrolling something. You're not missing that much. Now listen, don't, you know, we go to Walmart because we like to people watch, right? We watch people come in and out. When we're shopping, we watch people. But listen, in the church, don't watch everyone who gets up and goes out. It's not that interesting. They're probably just going to the bathroom anyway, and they probably don't want you watching them go to the bathroom. Now listen, don't talk to people around you while the Word of God is being preached. Don't sleep through what God may be using to change yours or somebody else's life. Don't joke and laugh about holy and serious things. If you have children, keep them close and help them learn reverence in the house of God. And take every message personally. Every challenge personally, every reproof personally, and make application to your own heart. Why? Because souls are in the balance, including possibly your own. Your child, your spouse, your friend, or someone sitting across the aisle. The God of heaven, He's working. The Holy Spirit is working. The Word of God is working. Do not interfere with what God is doing. Bring your Bible to church and then take your Bible home. It does you no good if you just leave it in the pew or leave it somewhere else in church. Take it home. The Bible is not merely a church decoration. It's the believer's daily bread. You need that book on a day-by-day basis. And listen, this is God's house. It is not your house. It is not my house. It's His house. And we need to treat it as such. We've seen the atmosphere. We've seen the attendees. But one more thing is necessary. Because you can have a good atmosphere, you can have active participation, and still miss the main thing if your eyes are on the wrong thing. Thirdly and finally this morning, the assembly must be perceptive. The assembly must be perceptive. Notice there again verse number 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people." The key to getting the most out of a church service is not merely what happens around us. It's whether you can perceive the goodness of God in it. The people, the Bible says here, they left glad and merry in heart because they had a fresh grasp of the goodness of God. You know, if you come looking for problems, guess what? You're probably going to find them. If you come looking for people, you will probably be disappointed by them. But if you come looking for God, then you can be glad and merry in heart. What do we need to be perceptive about? Number one, be perceptive of God's goodness in the past. He said unto David, David was gone, but God had been good to him. The people were standing on blessings that came before their generation. And listen, this morning, church ought to remind us that we are standing on the goodness of God shown before we ever arrived. Before we were here, somebody prayed before us. Before we were here, somebody sacrificed before us. Before we were here, somebody preached before us. Before we were here, somebody gave before us. Before we were here, somebody stayed faithful before us. Listen, we're not the first generation God has helped. And we best not live like we are. And we best not live like we are the last generation that God can use. Then we need to be perceptive of God's goodness in the present. Unto David, to Solomon. And so God was not only good yesterday, God was good right then. Solomon was living proof that God was still keeping his word. And listen, sometimes we miss present blessings because we are too busy complaining about present burdens. But listen this morning, God is still saving. God is still helping. God is still answering prayer. God is still feeding his people. God is still keeping his promises. God is still working in his church. And so do not let what is wrong around you blind you to what God is doing among you. And then thirdly and finally, be perceptive of God's goodness to his people. Unto David, to Solomon, to Israel, his people. They saw the goodness of God, not just to individuals, but to the people as a whole. That is what we need to see when we gather. Church is not ultimately about how good the preacher was, how good the singing was, how smooth the schedule was, how comfortable the pew was, or whether everything suited my personal preferences. The great question is, did we see the goodness of God? And the key is not walking away saying, oh, well, that was a good message. The key is walking away saying, God has been good. And listen, if you come to church and you come to church only focused on you, you're going to miss it. If you come thinking only about your bills or your problems or your health or your schedule or your preferences or your needs, you're going to miss it. But if you come to church looking for Him and looking at Him, you too can leave glad and merry in heart. So this morning we see the meaning is maximized when the goodness of God becomes bigger to you than the inconvenience of everything else and anything else in the service. So what produced the gladness of verse 10? The atmosphere was primed, the attendees were participating, and the assemblies were perceptive. So how do we get the most out of every church service? Well, first, the atmosphere must be primed. That means you need to come prayed up, come prepared, come hungry, come ready for God. Second, the attendees must be participating. Listen, don't merely watch the service, but worship. Don't merely sit, but serve. Don't merely hear, but respond. Do not merely attend, but engage. And then third, the assembly must be perceptive. Look for the goodness of God. Take the word of God personally. And do not miss what God is doing. And listen, the goal is not simply to get through church. The goal is for church to get through to us. Now, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that every time we left church, we left glad and merry in heart because of the goodness of God? Not because everything went our way, not because every song was our favorite, not because the sermon was short, not because nobody bothered us, but because we met with God. May we seek to, when we gather, to get everything we possibly can out of every church service that we gather in. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.